Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a series of book collaborations, our latest one being Essential Healing for the Spirit and Soul. And I'm really excited about this book collaboration because it is a group of authors that have come together to basically tell their story of how they were on their journey to become a spiritual practitioner and healer. And it's a great group of people from all walks of life who have had a lot of different life events happen to them and things that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that kind of shape them and put them on this journey to becoming a healer. And one of the purposes of this book was basically for people who are interested in possibly making a career change or becoming a healer to give them ideas and examples and things that they can relate to from other people who've been down this path. And also, if you're just looking into possibly seeing a spiritual practitioner or having a form of healing for something that you're going through in your life, how you can be introduced to a lot of different modalities and hear directly from this great group of authors about each of the modalities that they do and what might be helpful for you. So today I have on the call with me Jill Marisky. She is a licensed massage therapist in Connecticut and New York. She's also a certified holistic health coach and yoga teacher. She developed Transformation for Life Wellness Center in Danbury. Jill has over 18 years' experience in serving the Danbury area, providing therapeutic massage and intuitive healing. Jill brings all of her knowledge and experience together to effectively guide others through difficult health challenges. So welcome and thanks for being on the call today, Jill. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. Great. So, as I said, I just love doing these calls because it gives me an opportunity to talk directly to each of the authors and learn a little bit more about, your life experiences and, what happened, if any life events that prompted how you went down the path to becoming a massage therapist and intuitive and really just how you decided that was what you wanted to do in life. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I did have an experience when I was in my 20s that really gave me a different perspective on what it's like to be a human, or as they say, we're really spiritual beings having a human experience, and that's what happened for me. Yeah, and it was very profound. So it kind of set the stage for my continued curiosity about life, and that's really kind of what led me into holistic health. So I wrote about my experience in the book, and after that happened, I just did a lot of reading and opening up to fresh perspectives about what it's like to be a person on this earth, and it was much more spiritual and energetic. There's a lot of new ideas. I would just research a lot and eventually ended up going to, I had to go to a chiropractor because I had a curved spine, had a lot of pain in my back, and I really didn't know what to do about it. So originally I did go to the medical doctors, and they didn't really give me any hope of being able to straighten out my back. It was curved in a fairly extreme S-curve. Mm-hmm. And we weren't sure how that happened exactly, if it was a car accident that I was in, if it was just bad posture. I really didn't get any answers at all. And I had been doing yoga since I was a teenager. That was nothing I was drawn to. So I feel that it was sort of an intuitive thing. It's like I just knew, my soul knew, that this would be good for me. So when yoga started to come on the scene back in the 70s, my mother left a book on the coffee table. It was titled Yoga, Youth, and Reincarnation by Jeff Stern, and that was just one of the early books on yoga, and I was 15. So I just looked at the pictures and started imitating that and learning how to do the postures, and I felt a lot better. Then when I got to college, I took yoga as an elective, and the instructor talked to me about my back, so I had back pain. That was prior to me finding out that it was curved, but I had back pain, and she said, this is the best thing for your back, doing yoga. So actually, when I went to the doctors and had my back looked at and brought up the idea of doing yoga, they thought it was ridiculous. And
of course.
Yeah. I started to get the impression that there was sort of different ways of looking at health at that point when I was in my 20s. And then later on, in my 30s, I still had the back pain, still doing yoga, and I also had a child, and the whole, going through pregnancy and everything aggravated and made it worse. Went back to the doctor, got the same kind of answers, that no, there's nothing you can do about it, yoga's not going to help, and so out of frustration, I just went to the gym and figured if I worked out, built up some muscle, lost some weight, that I might be able to help myself. And the lady who was running this, it was like a women's figure salon, she was running this program, she also had back issues. So she said, I'll show you all the modifications for the exercises, and you should be good. And later on through the program, a few months down the road, she asked me how I was doing with my back, and I gave her a little bit more of a description of what was happening. And she said, it sounds like you could benefit by seeing a chiropractor. And I said, I've never heard of a chiropractor, and why did my doctor refer me to a chiropractor? And that's when she said, well, they have two different beliefs, So I started to try the chiropractic, and right away this particular doctor looked at my back and said, I can straighten that out, which was very surprising. But I started going on a regular basis, and as the spine started to straighten out, he told me it was muscular imbalance that's causing this curve. So as he was straightening it out, I was having a lot of inflammation, and I asked him what I could do about that, and then the suggestion about going to get a massage came up. So I started going for regular massages. And it was interesting because at that time, between chiropractic, massage, and I was having sort of free-floating anxiety come up, and the massage therapist said that this is probably some memory or, old experiences that are now working their way out of your system into your consciousness, which was a new idea to me. And I said, well, what should I do about that? She said, well, maybe, therapy would be good for you. And so I added that in. So I had the three pieces. I had, massage, the chiropractic, and I was going for a lot of counseling and really good exercise, bioenergetic psychotherapy, which is very powerful. And in that type of therapy, they help you to connect your energy and ground to the earth, pull the energy up to your legs, and then see if there's anything that you need to express. It was an expressive therapy. So I learned in my 30s really how to move energy that way. And I did have some really powerful experiences. I know I had a Kundalini experience because we were unpushing the spine. So the energy just was coming up.
Right.
Yeah. And, I had some powerful intuitive experiences, and I began to realize that I had an intuitive ability. And as I got through, that was a really good healing time for me within my 30s, early 30s, and learning about holistic health and wellness. So later on, I found my way to a massage school and decided to just try it. And it was one of those immediate, knowing that this is what I wanted to do. And it was most likely because I was starting to use my hands. The previous experience back in my 20s, where I had this out-of-body experience, which I speak about in the book, my palms began to itch tremendously, and there was nothing to do to stop the itching except put on steroid cream, which a doctor prescribed for me, and I had been putting on a little dab of the steroid cream on both palms from that time, my mid-20s, all the way until I started doing my first massages. I was 39. As soon as I put my hands on my fellow classmates when I was learning how to do the massage, within about a week, the itching went away. And so as I kept learning how to do the massage, it was just like I was really drawn to using my hands. And also in school, we learned a lot of energy techniques, and that was something that came naturally to me. So I really began to develop it more in a formalized way when I was in massage school.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. And it sounds like a lot of it all came about from you finding a book that your mother had left on the table.
And started it. She was,
yeah.
It was the beginning.
Yeah. So your family must have been open, or at least your mother must have been pretty open to, you know, just the idea of reincarnation and, you know.
She was, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A whole other spiritual world out there. And I think that's awesome because so many people don't have families that are open to it, or their, you know, friends aren't open to it, or colleagues or whatever, and it makes it even that more difficult to even try to, you know, go down this path of finding alternative forms of healing.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, that's great. So I think when many people think about massage, they probably just think like traditional massage therapy. And I know, like yourself, there are many practitioners out there that incorporate a lot more into the massage than just, you know, hands on the body, working the body. So,
yeah.
Tell us a little bit, like if I'm a client and I'm coming to you for a massage, what other things are you doing during the session that I may or may not even be aware of if you're working from like an intuitive or a spiritual level?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. And there's really a lot. And I think about that almost every day. What I'm doing that the clients really are not even aware of. So the first thing that I'm doing is I'm just getting an intuitive sense about their well-being, you know, as they're standing in front of me and giving me a little bit of information about, you know, what we want to focus on and so forth. And but then the real connection comes, of course, when I put my hands on the body. And as I'm putting my hands on the body, I actually feel energetic movement that's coming from somewhere, you know, inside. And, you know, we haven't really located it. People have written about, you know, where the energy runs. Maybe it runs along the fascia. I'm not sure, but, you know, I do feel it. And I feel vibration with any area that there's like a disharmony of some sort, either a stagnation, a blockage, so there's a tightness and the energy is not moving through that area very well. So one side of the tightness is a little overabundance, and then on the other side you feel like a lack of movement. And also if there is something that is sort of it's not coordinating right with the rest of the body, I can feel that. So I just go to those areas. People are usually surprised and say, how do you find the spot? I can feel it because it emits a vibration, and I can feel it just right through my palms or my fingertips, you know, immediately. And as soon as I work on it and I allow the vibration to come out, it's sort of like releasing steam, you know, off of, mm-hmm. you know, releasing pressure. It's kind of that kind of sensation that it does vibrate my arm, usually, sometimes my whole body. And some people are aware of it. You know, they kind of hear the shaking, and some people are really not. A lot of people are really not aware of it. I'm also breathing with the movement and with the release. The breathing really is a vehicle for working with energy. So I delve into the energy body as I'm doing the massage, and then I work on, of course, the tight areas and so forth, and I do stop along some of the acute points, meridians, and check them. I also, when I get to the feet, if somebody comes in and they have, let's say, for instance, they're having a problem with their hips. They don't really know what they did, but they're just really bothering them. So I'll massage that area first as I'm working on the body, and then when I get down to the feet, I'll work on the hip area that corresponds on the bottom of the foot, the reflex area for that. And I invariably will feel a tremendous vibration. It's almost like a real sudden, like, strong release, where, you know, it kind of shakes my whole body for like 2-3 seconds, and it seems to make a huge difference. And, you know, because if we're not finding it by manipulating the soft tissue, then I find it by, you know, working the reflex point. So that
seems
to help.
Yeah, that's
some of the things. You know.
Right. Fascinating. And obviously, I think it's, you know, like you said, some people may not even be aware that they have some sort of a energy blockage or issue because it just hasn't manifested physically yet.
Yeah, even when it does manifest physically, they don't identify that as being a cause.
Well, true.
And I have a lot of people come to me with issues. They've been to many doctors, and they're not getting answers. And those are the ones who are the most open to hear what I have to say. And if they want to work with me a little bit more and, you know, are more open to working holistically, then I do get a lot of information that comes through. It's like I have a sense of knowing. It's just metaphors will come into my mind or images. So if I were working on something, there's a mystery. They give me all the information they've gotten from the doctors, and nobody, it doesn't seem to add up. And so I start massaging and get to the area that's really bothering them, or peripheral areas. And then I just ask, what is going on here? What is this all about? And then I start to get a lot of information coming in. And sometimes, you know, it'll just guide me as to where to work next. And it's like trying to connect the dots. It's like, you know, you're putting a puzzle together.
Mm-hmm. Right. And do you, would you say that you see visually the information, or something that you hear, or because I think people are still curious about this, and I think we all have the innate talent to be intuitive, but some people have just kind of blocked themselves from that, or they don't. I don't know if practice is the right word, but they don't sort of train that ability that we all have. So I think people are always curious when, you know, someone who is intuitive as to how they get their information. And I know people get it from all different ways, so I'm just curious, like, you specifically, is it something that you see or you hear or maybe just like a gut sense?
It's kind of a combination of, it's called clairsentience,
mm-hmm.
sense. And it's a sensing and immediately some type of mental confirmation will come in the form of an image or a phrase. And so it's just, you know, a sense of knowing. And usually there's curiosity that comes beforehand. So, you know, we have to be working in an area of the body. Let's say, for instance, I'll give you an example. I had a client who came with a lot of shoulder neck issues, and she either was chronic and she really wanted deep tissue massage around her shoulder and neck, and she was coming on a regular basis. And I kept working into the tissue, and, you know, it just felt like it was just jammed, and I was wondering, you know, it felt traumatized. And I was wondering if something had happened, caused the trauma, and I asked her if she had any accident or anything, and she said no. And as I worked around the front, along the collarbone, where the, you know, this the muscles, the sternocleidomastoid, attaches down in the front of the collarbone. Some other neck muscles are down there. It just felt to me like right there, it was just like holding on, like the muscles were just holding on. Sometimes we think of muscles as like children, like they have a consciousness, you know, and when they're upset, they whine, you know. And
right.
When I'm doing the massage, I'm sort of like saying, it's okay, calm down, you know, and in my mind,
relax.
That was a trick, yeah, transmitting that information. It does help a lot, and also if I'm asking them a question like, what's going on, and, you know, there's just this tightness, for me, being, you know, that I have all the background in anatomy and physiology, I'm thinking, it feels like it was a whiplash, you know, that their head is thrown back, and this part on the collarbone is just hanging on for dear life. It's like a whiplash incident. But I kept asking the client, did you get rear-ended? Did you have a car accident? And I kept saying, no. And as I worked on it, then she finally remembered. It was actually a fairly intense accident where they were rear-ended. And it was just amazing that she just had not, even though I had been asking, she had not made that connection. And so I kept working around that area, and it brought the memory back for her. And as soon as we acknowledge that, and then mentally I said to the muscles, as I was working on them, it's okay, the action is over, you can relax. the whole thing just released.
Wow.
And she had no problems after that.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, things like that can happen. There are few and far between, but that was a pretty clear example because the image that I had in my mind as I was working on muscles was of a tree being pulled out by its roots. That was the image that kept popping up, a tree being pulled out by the roots. So I kept going back to her, did you have an accident? And finally we got to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. I think we, a lot of times, block out memories of certain things, whether it's something that's traumatic that happened, or, you know, maybe it wasn't that, she didn't think it was that big of a deal, and you just forget. And,
exactly.
You know,
yep.
It's not until something like that, a situation like that, that you can get, that there's a trigger so that you can acknowledge or remember, basically, what happened and allow the body to heal itself, you know, with your assistance or guidance, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So, for those people who are thinking about possibly moving into a career as a spiritual practitioner or a healer, what advice would you have for people, you know, looking to make that change? And what do you think are some things that you've done that have set yourself apart from other healers and maybe allowed you to be more successful?
Well, I think, you know, a major thing is having experiences where I was able to express strong emotions, because emotions is just energy in motion. So when we have emotions that we stop and we don't have them, I mean, it's society we live in, that's just what we do. There's, you know, all kinds of things happening from childhood all the way up where, you know, you're being yelled at for something, or you're being, you know, you're terrified or something happens and you just, you know, you really don't express whatever that feeling is at the time. And so it just stays stuck in there. So when you start having a lot of body pain, like I was having, an accumulation of so many things, stuffing so many things, and then I went into trusted hands of therapists and workshop leaders. I like to go to transformational healing workshops. And just kind of, you know, let it out, let it come out. Don't just stop holding on to that. Just, you know, realize that this is a human experience. We have emotions, and when they are starting to be expressed, the energy frees up and it starts to move. And, you know, the payoff is that you feel tremendous afterwards. You feel more alive. You feel lighter. The one experience I describe in the book, I had such a powerful release during that workshop that I actually floated completely out of my body. I mean, I was freed from all of the things that were trapping me there. And so having that experience, you don't have to float out of your body to, you know, to feel more free. It's just amazing, you know. So I my advice is to really start to search out things that where your heart is calling you and looking for safe places. And I always research, too, before I did something. You know, I always question it and kind of check it out, make sure it's really legit, if there's some kind of review or something about the individuals or, you know, the type of therapy. You know, I look for quality therapists. I mean, just go to any kind of thing that's happening, you know, out there. And I stuck with it and did a lot of self-work reading and then, you know, when you can start to feel your energy and start moving it and clearing the things that are holding you back, you're much more able to help others.
Yeah, I think that's definitely key. You know, I think we're drawn to things to want to help people from the experiences that we've had. And I think it's important that we've worked through our own, you know, traumas or issues or whatever it might be around those experiences in order to, I mean, that sets us on the path definitely to be able to help somebody else, but you kind of have to have gone through that and come out the other side, I think, to really be, you know, to be effective in now being that healer for the person who's going through a similar experience.
Absolutely. And you're always going to keep doing things like that, because the sooner you start, the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Well, great. Well, before we finish, I want to just give you an opportunity to tell listeners about any kind of events that you might have coming up or anything that you're involved of in ways that people can connect with you through your website or email or any social media sites that you want to tell us about. So go ahead and do that so people can connect with you.
Well, I have a wellness center in Danbury, Connecticut, and here we have treatment rooms for doing massage and energy work. We also have a nice little yoga studio, large enough for a class of 8 or 10, which is a nice size. So I teach yoga, and I like to really incorporate the yoga into sort of a strategy for people to keep themselves on a wellness path. It's very important. A lot of people don't stretch, so I really am much more focused on the kind of the physical aspects of the benefits of yoga, more than the philosophical at this point. And we'll be having workshops and informational seminars, which is also a great classroom space, and also healing circles and things like that. So I have a website. There's two. One for the actual center is tflwellness.com. And I'm going to be bringing in some other practitioners, so I have a separate website so we can all kind of participate in that and share all of our knowledge and experience with others. And then I have another website that's going to be launching soon. This is more of my personal practice. It's called BeWellNaturalHealth.com. So it's kind of a practice within a practice or within the center. I'm actually really looking for people who are interested in doing workshops or teaching things that have to do with holistic health and wellness to join me here at the center. So we can really bring this more out to the public.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. So I'm sure people will be very interested in that, and they can go to your website, and I'm assuming all your contact information is on there. People can, you know, reach you via email or phone.
Yeah, I have the phone number on every page, and there's an email right on the contact page that you can email me that way.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy to get
in touch. Well, great. Well, thank you so much for being on today, and we're excited that you're one of the contributing authors. You have a great story to tell, and I'm sure people will be interested in connecting with you and learning more.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, everybody, for listening in, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, great.